gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A wonderful weekend. Thank you for joining me. I'm Angelo Viola, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Outdoor Journal Radio. That's right, David. And right over there, Joe Gorskowski, looking wonderful after another week off.
Right? Another?
Well, yeah, we're under a pandemic thing, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I was here, though.
How are you doing?
Pretty good, a lot better.
Good?
Yep.
You all healed up now, ready to go for, what, 12 months?
Yeah, I might take another week off.
You're contemplating it right now, as a matter of fact. Derek Brandeo at The Fan, keeping us honest once again. And I also want you, I'm going to start putting her in this thing on a regular basis. Sarah Pollock, who is now doing, Pollock is Brian, who's going to be joining us later on from Dive Source. Right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Pollock.
They're not related, are they?
Well, no, but there's an O difference, an O and a U, so they can't be related.
True.
Don't think. We could ask them, I suppose. It wouldn't hurt. Yeah, anyway, Sarah's been single-handedly looking after producing this show for a few weeks now. So good on her, doing a great job. Like I said, welcome to the program. I am Angelo Viola. It's a pleasure to serve you on this wonderful weekend to be in the outdoors. Yes, it is a wonderful weekend to be in the outdoors. It doesn't always have to be sunny. We can put up with this. This is perfect, actually. And this is also a preview, or prelude, I suppose, to July 1st coming up, Canada Day. And along with that, it'll also be Canada's National Family Fishing Week coming up on July 4th and 12th. A lot of great things are happening now that we're, you know, loosening up a bit, starting to get our mojo back and getting outdoors. There's things starting to happen. National Family Fishing Week, that's where people can go out and fish for free. That's right. No nasty licenses to worry about. The hell with them. That's the 4th and 12th. Fishingcanada.com. For those of you who are getting ready for a wonderful season of fishing, you need some equipment. Like, for example, how about an outboard motor? And then you would probably need a boat and maybe even a trailer to tow that boat motor and whatnot to your favorite fishing spot. And we have just the place for you to get one of those. It's called fishingcanada.com. It's the Great Princecraft Mercury Motor outboard giveaway, and it's going on right now. In fact, we're giving one of them away in a matter of 3 days, I believe, 3 days from today. That's it, the end of the month already. Holy smokes. Yes, and if you're not in there, you better get in there now. It's absolutely free. Go to fishingcanada.com, enter the contest to win. There are actually two official contests, and a lot of people are not getting this. A lot of people, it was brought to my attention this week that there's still some folks who are in one contest but not the other, which behooves me, totally behooves me, why, if you're already there, why you wouldn't enter both contests. Hell, I mean, let's be honest about it. If you don't need an outboard motor, you're in there for the boat motor trailer package, but you don't need an outboard, you should win the outboard. I'm sure you could find somebody on the family tree that would love an outboard motor, make somebody very happy during the pandemic. So anyways, make sure you enter both. It's free. You're there already anyways, and it costs you nothing other than maybe an extra minute of your time, if that. And it's all happening on fishingcanada.com. Now, let's get that out of the way. I'm just going to move some paperwork around here. Joe, bear with me. There. All right. The Great Lakes Fish, we're going to talk about the guests now, Joseph. I know you were anxious to find out what
I was waiting.
Yeah. Great Lakes Fishery Commission, the GLFC, which is a U.S.-Canadian agency established to improve the and preserve the Great Lakes fishery. We were talking about that on our webcast yesterday, the Great Lakes fishery, folks wanting to know what's available to catch in the Great Lakes and is it consumable, edible? That was the big question. But anyways, the commission controls invasive sea lamprey, a species that attaches. I'm sure we've all seen scars on some of the fish out of the Great Lakes, these great big quarter size welts and sometimes open wounds, especially on salmon. They're caused by sea lamprey, a species that attaches itself to native fish and feeds on their blood like a vampire, so to speak. And usually resulting in mortality. The fish will die as a result of these life-sucking creatures stuck to them. Dr. Mark Gadden, Communications Director and Legislative Liaison for the GLFC, will join us a little later on to update us on the lamprey control program and discuss any setbacks due to the COVID-19 situation. And the other Pulak, Brian will be joining us. He's the owner of Dive Source at Oshawa, offering a large selection of scuba and snorkel equipment, as well as scuba training courses. He's going to join us with details on their scuba services and upcoming courses. You know, during the pandemic is a great time to do those things that you've been putting off for years by saying, I don't have any time for that. Well, guess what? What better time right now than to get certified as a scuba diver and then enjoy all the benefits that it will give you in years to come. Brian will talk to us about that situation. And what better way to celebrate Canada Day than to bring awareness to our uniquely Canadian wildlife? Now, this is interesting. Now, I don't know. You're a bit of a nature buff, Joe. Do you think we have animals that are exclusive to Canada?
I'm pretty sure we do.
We do?
Like the squirrel.
No, you can get squirrels over in England.
We have our own squirrels, though.
What do you mean we have our own squirrels?
Like North American squirrels.
So North American squirrels are different than European squirrel.
They invaded the European squirrel.
Well, tell me more. Maybe I'll dump this guest that we were going to talk to you about it instead.
It's our squirrel is an invasive species, or they're taking over from the red squirrel.
Get out!
They fight wars. It's pretty bizarre.
Well, maybe you could debate it with our guest that's coming on, Daniel T. Kaus. He is the National Conservation Biologist at the NCC. That's the Nature Conservancy of Canada. That's an organization that works to protect the natural areas that sustain Canada's plants and animals. And earlier this month, they released a report called Ours to Save, highlighting species only found in Canada and the threats that they face. Now, I did not realize that we actually had animals that were just ours. Like the beaver's not even just ours, you know? Or maybe it is. We'll find out. Let's not speculate at this point when we have an expert at a moment or two away from filling us in. KOA. You know what that is?
I do.
You do? Okay, good. That means you're a camper. Campgrounds of America. It's the largest privately owned camping organization in North America. And we have them on today because we've done the government thing. The government finally opened up Crown Land camping and, you know, Outback camping, and then finally Provincial Park camping. And so we thought we'd bring the folks in from KOA to let us know how they're making out. They've surveyed the Canadian and U.S. campers and non-campers to find out their thoughts about camping amid the COVID-19 pandemic. And research shows that the camping industry may rebound sooner than some other forms of travel. And it may even be a higher interest due to being one of the safest ways to travel during this pandemic. Toby O'Rourke will be joining us. She is the president and CEO of Campgrounds of America, and she will fill us in on special edition North American Camping Report. Holy mackerel, we got a lot of stuff to cover, my friends. But first, a little behind-the-scenes look at Canada's most-watched national fishing program called The Fishing Canada Show on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast, as we speak, 8 o'clock every Saturday morning. Has been there, I believe, I stand to be corrected, but it's been some 30 years. It's been playing at that time and that time slot on that network. 30-plus years. Wow. Huh. Who'd have thunk it, huh? Anyway, it's a great episode. It's a double location carp episode. where we covered the 2019 Fish in Canada carp. Of course, the 2020 Fish in Canada carp was canceled due to the pandemic. So we're going to revisit with the 2019 Fish in Canada Carp Cup, a one-of-a-kind fishing competition that pits man against some of the biggest and strongest fish in all of Ontario. As well, we'll head to the unique waters of Lake Scugog, where Mr. Bowman, my co-host, teams up with a local carp expert, Will Machette, who is, by the way, putting out some outstanding blogs on fishingcanada.com about carp fishing. If you're interested in learning more about carp fishing, you might want to go check him out. His name is Will Machette. Anyways, he's on the Fish in Canada show along with Mr. Bowman this morning as we speak. And they're going to set up a very interesting way to catch bass carp right off a dock. You don't want to miss that episode. It's playing right now. It's called All About Carp, airing on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast. If you're not watching it because you're listening to us, you might want to go to fishingcanada.com, get an update on where to catch this exciting episode called All About Carp. That's all happening at Fish in Canada, fishingcanada.com. Excuse me. Are we playing it safe? I don't hear any bumpers coming. Joe, take your time, buddy. It's no big rush. We're just waiting along here. We're going to be joined shortly by our in-house safety expert. His name, of course, is Bradley Schlorf, retired staff sergeant with the OPP. And he is going to be filling us in on some, actually, for the first time in I think about a month, we actually have some subject matter for Brad to discuss. There was a 20-year-old man that drowned at the Sandbanks Provincial Park a little earlier on. Rescue of kayakers from Lake Erie. Fight over, this is interesting, over feeding seagulls results in assault charges. Now, you can read into that whatever you like. I'm going to read in that the gulls got charged for assaulting each other. Bradley, are you there, my friend?
I'm all there.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm wonderful, actually. I feel great this weekend. Not that I didn't feel great, you know, previous weekends, but this one I feel exceptionally good.
Well, it's kind of the really, really long weekend if you want to stretch it out till Wednesday.
Oh, obviously you have plans. Do share.
Well, I'm retired. Every day's a long weekend. But, I mean, this is the weirdest of all statutory holiday things when the statutory holiday actually falls on Wednesday. So you got to take a couple extra days here to make it a long, long, long weekend.
You're right. We could do that. I have no issues with that. I see we have some subject matter this week to discuss. First of all, there was a drowning at the Sandbanks Provincial Park.
So here's another credit to Sarah there, because she's stepping up and coming up with all these ideas and good news stories. So that's a bad news story. There's actually a couple of drownings, swimmers, and again, the circumstances are usually the same, maybe not that familiar. The basic rule on swimming is always swim with a buddy right within arm's length.
Right, right.
So that, aside from that, there's not much else that could be done to prevent this. If people are not strong swimmers, they need to recognize their own capabilities.
So do you actually think people who can't swim throw themselves out into a body of water that's deeper than they're over their head?
I think that's possible sometimes, but a lot of the times I really think it's just, okay, let's wade out, not really plan on going swimming, and then realizing all of a sudden this is deeper than I thought.
Wow. Yeah, I never look at it that way. I always look at it as a tragic accident. You know, you weren't expecting to fall in or be dragged in or whatever the case may be, and you don't swim and you drown. I never really thought about the fact that maybe somebody just puts themselves in harm's way knowingly and that they could perish.
Maybe it's a time for a call to Bart Byers and do a study on that. Like how many? I would think that it's probably infrequent that people, aside from boating and things like that, but people that wind up in the water from a beach or something by accident, to me sort of strikes me as improbable. Like every beach I've ever been at, if you fall in right at the shoreline, you might fall into about ankle depth.
Yeah, you might scrape your knees if you fall.
Right.
You're not going to drown.
So I'm thinking that it's more of a voluntary situation.
Yeah, it's It's a 20-year-old man, too. That's the worst part. Well, it doesn't matter how old they are, I guess. A rescue of kayakers from Lake Erie.
So this is a kind of a good news, bad news story. So the good news part of this one is that there's marvelous cooperation between the governments in Canada and the United States, particularly along the Great Lakes and the coasts around search and rescue. So basically, it's we forget about the border even existing. Whoever happens to be closest or most available or has the best piece of equipment to look after something goes and does it. U.S. Coast Guard, these two 14-year-olds get blown offshore, heading south on Lake Erie, and U.S. Coast Guard deploys a helicopter, and they do the actual, you know, Kevin Costner move, like where they put a rescue swimmer in the water to look after these guys, which is a pretty cool job, but you got to be a little fitter than you and me and better swimmer than anybody on the beaches. But they put a rescue swimmer in, they get these two 14-year-olds, that they're already suffering from mild hypothermia, so the myth of, again, when it's 80 degrees out, or what's that in Celsius, 27, and people think, oh, it's nice and warm, I get out in that lake, and I'm going to be okay. So, that you know, the water is still cold enough can result in hypothermia. So they have mild hypothermia, but the press release also credits the fact they had PFDs on. So two 14-year-olds are alive. There's not a contrary story about an ages-long search by the OPP's dive unit to try and find them in the middle of Lake Erie. Yeah. A happy news story at the end of the day.
How, I just I'm kind of curious on this. So you say that they blew offshore in a kayak. Is that what the report says?
Yes.
How do you blow offshore in a kayak?
Well, probably what you do is you paddle offshore and realize that the wind is going the way that you don't want it to go, and then you get too tired to keep paddling to get back to shore.
Okay. And somebody saw them? Is that how the whole rescue thing came about?
Yep. And, you know, the handy call to 911, and somebody goes and gets them. But this is like a good story out of a bad story.
Yeah, no kidding. I wish every one of them had an ending like that.
But then there's a couple other kind of dumb stories that you reference, like the feeding the seagulls. So this is a thing that has driven me nuts since I was a little kid. People go someplace where they sell really good French fries and feed seagulls. So to the stars here, seagulls don't often go hungry on their own. You don't have to stand with a box of really good French fries that you paid really good money for and feed seagulls. But aside from that, apparently two neighbors, and usually when there's these neighbor disputes, there's more than just the odd feeding seagulls one time that starts this off. But one neighbor winds up being charged with assault, taking the other neighbor to task over feeding seagulls.
For feeding seagulls. They beat each other up for feeding over the seagulls. There you go.
Apparently so. But when one poops in your French fries, as it's flying over top you, you could maybe see how it would infuriate you enough to beat up a seagull if you get a hold of them.
And finally, a bear destroys a vehicle in Halliburton.
Okay, so this one, even in the article, they was more than one car. They compare him to Yogi and the picnic baskets in those old cartoons. And that forest ranger never had a gun either, like Yosemite Sam or anything, so they can't take his gun away from him in those cartoons. But anyway, here's a bear smart enough to figure out how to get in and unlock cars.
Beautiful. Whoa.
Beautiful.
Whoa, what happened?
Well, when a bear gets into anything, they tend to wreck it. Yeah. So the pictures of this one car that he got into, it's wrecked. And so the key to that is don't leave food in your car and it smells like food, because if that adventurous Bruin's around, he may try to get in.
Or
I saw a pickup truck in Northern Ontario one time where a bear tried to get in, and it pretty near needed an entire new paint job. So, the bear didn't get in, but there wasn't hardly a surface on that truck that didn't get scratched, and I mean scratched right through to the metal. So, maybe not a good idea to store your food in your car. In your driveway.
Just another reason to get out in the outdoors this weekend. There you go. Bradley, thank you very much, my friend.
5 days worth.
Yes, sir. I got you. I'm all over it. Bradley Schlorf, playing it safe, former retired, no longer with, staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.